One of my favorite quotes is my the universe is my sugar daddy. And I genuinely believe that.
Entrepreneurs love talking about business. However, it's no secret there's also so many things they love talking about which are not about business. In the Sea of Business podcasts, none of your business is a refreshing break, a surprise kiss, an afternoon fizz. Through Carla Singson's cheeky and radical takes on mundane and principle-heavy topics, you'll gain insights that guarantee you something to talk about on your first Tinder date, while visiting grandma, or if you want to impress your new boss. Big thanks to Proximity Outsourcing for sponsoring this episode. Outsource the most tedious tasks in your business, such as data management, appointment setting, and creatives, for less than $12 an hour, fully managed. Visit ProximityOutsourcing.com for more info. Tired of business podcasts? Tune in to None of Your Business. New episodes weekly.
Hello, hello, good morning, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the None of Your Business podcast. This is Carla Singson, and I'm super happy and excited to be here because today we are going to have a solo episode. And I'm going to talk about something a little businessy, actually. So we might be veering away from our theme here. However, I think this is a really good thing to learn about and to think about for a lot of entrepreneurs. And this is about networking properly, or these are some of my biggest wins and my biggest learnings in networking. So this is actually inspired by an episode that I listened to on My First Million, one of my favorite podcasts. This guy, the host, Sean Puri, said something about networking being kind of having the similar principle as Noah's Ark. So Noah's Ark is kind of like, you know, the flood is coming and your network is your chance of surviving. And so the principle here is you have to build it before you need it. And you have to really be doing this thing on a consistent basis, which means that you can't really fake being a good networker. You have to be genuine, and it has to really be a habit of yours, or a character trait, or maybe even a skill, something that you do well and something that you're intentional about. And then eventually, you know, if you are a little extroverted, you also will end up enjoying it, just like I did. I think I'm definitely an ambivert. I love my time just staying at home, reading a book, but mostly I really, really also love meeting other people. And I love talking to people. I love having conversations. I just love doing this. And it makes me happy. It makes me excited about going to a new event. And so one of the things that I'm super proud about leading an outsourcing company is I was able to lead a team from zero to seven figures, become a seven-figure company in a little over a year without spending anything on ads. One of the things that was crucial for that level and amount of growth in such a short amount of time is being able to meet other people and network properly. There are some people in my industry that I really look up to in terms of networking. One of them is Amber Spears. She is an expert in affiliate marketing. The other person is Thomas McMahon of ClickBank. He's such a great networker. I think Kevin Nations is also a great networker. He's funny, and he's one of the most successful people in the coaching industry that I know. He actually trademarked the word chillionaire because he believes that you don't have to work very hard to be a millionaire. You should just be a chillionaire. So I kind of like that. You know, he's also a friend of mine and I respect him a lot. And so I have some of these kind of role models around me, but I also would consider myself kind of an intermediate networker. And I've been in a lot of rooms that normally I wouldn't be able to get in, you know, for thousands of dollars. And I was just able to do that because I was invited. I was invited in dinners with really important people as well. I was able to get my first investment from just knowing people, being in the right room, and, you know, timing, good timing. And so I want to share some of my best learnings here. And it's not just about business and growing your business and making money. This is also to expand your network, as in your friendships, you know, the way that you meet your ideal partner. I see a lot of people, especially entrepreneurs right now, complaining that, you know, the dating pool is shit, or like there's not a lot of people that fit their, you know, their ideal mate, the profile of their ideal mate. And I ask them what they've been doing, and it seems like sometimes the problem is they just don't know where to go or how to approach these people when they actually meet them. And so I definitely meet a lot of men and women in their mid-30s who complain about not being able to have good friendships and not being able, I wouldn't say not being able, but like they find it difficult to meet new people that could be like long-term friends, and they're scared of, you know, being used or something. So if it's hard to find a mate and it's hard to find friends, definitely you have a networking problem or you need to do something better. So so this is not just business, this also will be a really helpful thing for you, or, you know, for your friends. If you want to share this episode, I would actually love that. If you love my episodes, if you love a quote, a certain, you know, guest, please reply to, you know, send a reply, send a comment, either in my Instagram, my Facebook, find me on social media, or I think you can put replies now on Spotify. So you can do that as well. And then I would love to hear what you think about my episodes. And that would be such an amazing gift for me. And so, okay, let's start. And so I would say the number one thing is still mindset. You know, mindset is being talked a lot in the business world. And it's the same thing with your life. Actually, you have to have the mindset or the behavior of believing that you're only going to have positive experiences, meaning you have to think positively. When you start your day, you have to be excited about meeting people that will be forever friends, or that could be your ideal mate or partner, or that could even be like an ideal mate or partner for your best friend, you know, or a future business partner or a client or an affiliate. The important thing is, if you wake up every morning and you start your day thinking positively, and you have a belief that I will have positive experiences today, that is step one. That will help you have the right kind of state of mind, kind of the right backdrop for approaching people. I am going to have a positive experience. So before, when I was single, I actually read about this in a dating advice website, or I think from a dating coach, I forgot, but she said, before you go on a date, spend some time closing your eyes, maybe in a taxi or in the bathroom or in your house as you're preparing for it, and just imagine your date and that you're going to have a great time at the date. And so you're conditioning your mind to believe that this will be your experience. And so you will just be looking forward to it. And what will happen is that your brain will start picking up evidence that it is a good experience. And that is how humans work. When we think about something, we have a hunch about something, the best feeling to get is the feeling that we are right or we're correct. And so if we think that things will go our way, and when they do, our brain will pick up pieces of evidence that it actually did. However, even if you're having the same experience, but you have a negative mindset, then your mind will focus on the negative things because it wants to be right. When these negative things happen, you will say, oh, you know, like I've always known, or, you know, there's always something. And so these words and phrases are very dangerous because it just tacks on more and more negative things in your life. And because we just yearn to be right, then our brain picks up on these pieces of evidence and then highlights them, even though there are 80 million other things in our life that are actually going our way and are positive experiences. The next mindset suggestion that I would give is the mindset of abundance. And so I really want you to sit with yourself and journal or write about or even think about things that have been abundant to you, whether it's a specific time. You know, at this time, I had a bunch of leads, or at this time, I was feeling really beautiful. I had a bunch of suitors or something like that. Or this time, I just had a lot of money because all of my investments seemed to start paying off. So remember those moments in your life. And then the day-to-day things that are small that also give you evidence that there's a lot of abundance in your life. Like for me, my personal life is I love having fresh plants around my house and I have a lot. So I feel abundant. My fridge is always full. I feel abundant. You know, my husband is very loving. He's supportive and he is a great provider. And so I feel abundant. And so there's always different things in your life that will remind you that you're abundant. So also remember and highlight these feelings and highlight that mindset. You know, one of my favorite quotes is the universe is my sugar daddy. And I genuinely believe that because I just believe that the universe is abundant. There's a lot, there's enough and actually a lot for everyone. And you don't have to be greedy. You don't have to kind of hold yourself back and, you know, from either helping other people or sharing your learnings or sharing what you discovered that would help other people as well. So you have to have a mindset of abundance because when you also use this mindset as you're networking, you become a much more giving person. You become a much more generous person and you also have an attitude of detachment, which makes you not needy and not desperate. And trust me, that kind of person is the kind of person that most people would love hanging out with. And what is the opposite, right? Needy, being desperate, feeling like there's always a lack in your life. No one wants to hang out with that person. And so the result here is your life's not going to be abundant. And no one wants to hang out with you. And then you can't network properly. So the universe is abundant. Believe it and live it. All right. The next advice that I would give is fully and completely allow yourself to be fascinated. Every day I have just this overflowing cup of wonder and fascination and readiness. Readiness to be awed, to be in awe, readiness to be impressed, be seduced. I'm just really open. And so I operate life with that kind of attitude. And so even the little things would make me laugh out loud or even make me cry or fascinated. I'm, you know, impressed. You know, it doesn't mean that I don't discriminate with the information that I have, but I always allow myself to live in wonder, in the spirit of wonder, in the spirit of discovery. And I allow myself to nurture my curiosity by asking questions, by fully actually wondering why this happened or why is it like that or when did this happen. There's always little things in my day that fascinate me, and the reason for that is because I've allowed myself to be fascinated. So I'll give you an example. I'll give you three things that I'm fascinated about in the last 24 hours. Okay, so I would say number one, I was so fascinated by the story of Bernie Madoff. He ran apparently the biggest Ponzi scheme in history so far. There might be something bigger, but his story just fascinated me. And so I watched the whole thing. It was a four-part episode on Netflix, and I watched the whole thing in a day because I was just so fascinated by it. The second thing that fascinated me is I was just thinking about how fast Alex Hormozi, for example, grew his business. And I'm always fascinated by how smart him and his wife Layla are and how focused they are on growth, how just kind of sharp they are as well. They're very intelligent, very hardworking, such great role models in terms of business. And so I allowed myself, and I just kind of sat there for a bit and allowed myself to be fascinated. The number three is I was interviewing this guy earlier for a sales position, and I asked him, what are your plans or goals 3 to 5 years from now? And he was telling me about how it was his dream to work with this particular founder and how he's so fascinated by her. And I was like, I just asked so many questions about this experience, and I allowed myself to also be fascinated by this person and to fully acknowledge her gift, acknowledge her hard work. And it was a great experience for me. And let me tell you guys, these three things happen in the last 24 hours, and I feel happy. I feel totally turned on by life, and I'm just fascinated. And so because of that, I also have a bunch of positive experiences in my life. So it's kind of a it's really a win-win, you know, and it's so great when you're networking. And if you have this attitude also of just allowing yourself to be fascinated, because then you ask more questions, then you have a genuine curiosity, then you make people feel that they're bigger than who they are. You know, you make them feel like 10 feet tall. And that's an amazing feeling to feel. And if I'm with a person that makes me feel like that, oh, I'm gonna love this person. I'm gonna hang out with this person. I'm gonna refer business to this person. I'm just gonna like seeing this person on my Facebook feed. So it envelopes you. It envelops you in this, like, how do I say this? Halo, right? It's a halo of I like you. You know, when you have these mindsets of having positive experiences, a mindset of abundance, you allow yourself to be fascinated and you're genuinely curious, then everyone likes you. You're going to be easy to like. And so, even if you're not very attractive, even if you believe that you're not sexy, your attitude, your energy will turn people on. And whether you use that for finding your besties, for finding your people, your ride or die people, finding your perfect mate, your ideal partner, finding ideal partners if you're polyamorous, you know, no kink shaming, or finding your next best affiliates, finding your partner, your future investor, your COO, finding employees, all of this will really, really, you know, benefit from you working on these mindset shifts. And then, you know, we move on to a little more physical and tactical. One of the things that I also started working on is to listen more than I talk. So obviously, this podcast is not an example because I'm talking and you're listening, and I'm doing all the talking. But when I talk to people, I definitely try to listen more than I talk. And I ask questions. I'm genuinely curious. It helps people feel heard and feel seen. And, you know, and it just gives them a positive feeling as well. So a lot of people actually feel this, and this is a common feeling, feel that they're not seen or not heard properly. And if you are the one person that can help them feel otherwise, and you make them feel seen, you make them feel heard, that is a good experience. And that person will remember you. That person will always remember how they felt around you. And this is the most important part, because that is the part that's going to be etched into their brain. And this is why I believe that people with humor you know? I would consider myself as one of those people, because if I'm in a group setting, I'm the one always cracking jokes. And if you hung out with me in person, you know this is true. I'm not just saying this to sound cool, but I just love having fun, laughing with people. I make fun of myself. I make fun of certain situations in the news with their permission. I can make fun of you too. You know, my girlfriends and I always call each other slut ho or whatever. You know, we throw like funny, raunchy jokes to each other. And that's just kind of our energy, right? And so you will feel that, you know, more and more people will want to be around you if you also make them feel good. So humor is a good kind of shortcut, because they feel relaxed around you. They laugh around you, and they'll always remember how different you are because you're being funny. And so I'm not saying here that, you know, that you have to like read books about how to be funny, or maybe you have a question in your mind. What if I'm just not that kind of person? I'm not a storyteller. I just would honestly love to listen and be on the sidelines. And also, Carla, you told me to listen more than I talk. So what are you talking about? What I would say is, I think it also reflects being a good storyteller. And being a good storyteller, if you're telling a story so well, and the person is that you're talking to is fully present and fully engaged with you, and that is the benefit. And if you tell a funny story, not only are they fully engaged and captivated by you, they also get to let out a laugh, which makes them feel good, gives them positive feelings, gives them the feel-good hormones, and that is a good feeling to have. So if you want some advice, I would say you can learn a few jokes and you can practice saying them over and over again, or there must be some just funny moments in your life that you can refer to, and you can just practice. English is not my first language. Practice these stories until you perfect them. So I definitely have a few up my sleeve. I have R18 jokes. I have PG jokes, R13 jokes. And I keep them close to my heart and up my sleeve. So there are certain moments during a dinner or a public setting, and it's just when it's appropriate, or, you know, when I have my permission to say it. And I love seeing the reaction of the people around me, the people I'm talking to. It's just nice. It's nice. And I'm not going to lie to you. It's nice for my ego and it's nice for my business. So there. The next principle I would say is always have the principle of giving. The thing with networking, whether it's business, friendship, looking for your perfect mate, is that we want to take something, right? We want business. We want a friendship support system. We want a lover. So it, you know, when you come into the situation wanting something, needing something, the tendency is you're not in a right mindset to give. And honestly, the way that a person really strengthens their relationship with you, their loyalty with you, is if they receive from you, if you give them something. So I would suggest, you know, when you're networking, I would suggest finding a way to give value to that person, whether it's advice, an introduction, a referral, or a book recommendation. You know, if you're talking to a girlfriend, maybe the salon that does great work with blonde hair, you know, there's always something of value that you can give this person. So go on the offensive. Be the person to give first. Be the person who made this other person feel good about themselves. Give something to them. Give something of value and not just lip service. No? So that would be a great move to do also, because when you give, you actually also feel good. You know, the feeling of generosity and the feeling of giving is actually a positive feeling. And it's a feeling that I want you to have and I want you to remember, so that you will always do it. And then the other bonus is you're able to help other people. And so that is also a gift in itself. And you're going to get some karma points from that. And then eventually, you know, people will love being around you because you're so generous, you're giving. And like I said earlier, it gives off the impression that you're not needy. Life is abundant. And it's just kind of a positive feeling all over. And then the next thing that I would suggest is, this is a little tactical, but if you can find a way to do a pattern interrupt, or a way that is very unexpected of you to do, you will be more memorable because of that. And so I think this is kind of an advantage if you say raunchy jokes, because sometimes in business settings, they don't expect you to say that. But of course, it's a little dangerous, especially if you're a girl and if you're talking to a married guy. Of course, you're not hitting on them. But if you say a joke and it's a little bit colored, then they might feel, or their wife might be there and they feel. So you also have to kind of read the room, right? So if I'm talking to certain guys and they're married, and of course I'm married, I don't want to give off the impression that I'm flirting with them, I always shift kind of the joke to like something about my husband or something about their wife, or, you know, but of course something that's not offensive and something that's still very wholesome at the end of the day. But a pattern interrupt, a lot of people use certain literally tricks to do this. Like they have a certain trick that they know what to do with this particular cocktail, or they'd be like, yeah, I know this guy. And you're like, no way. And they're like, no, hold on, let me call him on my phone and he will answer. So there's also kind of like party tricks that you can do. You can carry something that is a conversation starter, like maybe a very special brooch or a wildly colored hat or something like that. So also find ways to start conversations without having to start conversations. You know what I mean? So a lot of pieces of clothing or accessories can be used as conversation starters. And so you can take advantage of that too. If you're shy to start a conversation, then you can do that. And so I will delve here a little bit about, you know, the business side. And so when you're networking, and actually, a lot of this lesson still apply in personal, but a little bit of business advice here. Obviously, when you're networking, be 100% sure that you're actually good at the work that you do. Give people a reason to be affiliated to you, because if you're all talk and your business or your service is not very good, and that's kind of the same as finding a partner. If you're all talk, if you have such a great Tinder bio, but you meet this person and then they, you know, you're just not as truthful in your profile, or you say that you don't care about doing a one night stand, but you're actually looking for marriage. And so you have to have integrity, and then you have to be good. You have to be a good person. You have to be a good partner. You have to have worked on yourself to be a good lover, a good partner, a good spouse, if that's what you're preparing to be. If you are networking for a particular business, you guys have to deliver the service well, and you have to be good at what you do. And so otherwise, it's just all smoke and mirrors, and people will not want to be affiliated with you. Worse, when they see you in events, they will actually actively say, be careful with this person because my experience has not been good so far. Okay, so the next advice I would give is, make it easy for people to get connected to you. So this is, again, a little bit tactical, but if you add people on Instagram immediately or Facebook, give them a card, get their email, get their number, make that connection immediately if you want the connection to continue. And so make it easy for them to refer you. If you are looking for affiliates, you know, maybe tidy up your website and build some of the guides that they need. If you are looking for an ideal partner, work on yourself, you know. There's actually a lot of books and resources on how to be a good partner, you know, relationship or communication. Actually, today I was reading a book about nonviolent communication and kind of teaching couples how to fight better. So I continue to work on myself. But before I met my spouse, I actually also still invested in these programs and these courses, and I invested in myself. And so it's easy for other people to refer me because they believe I will be a good partner. And the same thing with friends. Also, you know, sometimes when you move to a different city, or you move to a different workplace, if people don't find it easy to kind of relate to you, and you're hard to reach, then it's gonna be difficult for you to make friends in this new workplace, in this new environment, in this new neighborhood. And so, yeah, make it easy, make them want to be introduced to you, want to be affiliated with you there. And the next thing is always remembering that your network is your access to certain very, very important things in life. So really care about your network, you know, protect them and be a person for them. You know, in terms of business, your network has the expertise, experience. Some of them may have funding, some may have certain connections that you don't have. And so that's why you need this network in your life, and you need this network to feel good that they're networking with you. And so in your personal life, your network could have your future forever mate, your forever lover, yeah, your life partner. Your network may also have advice for you. You know, maybe you can network with, when you can meet other older couples that will give you advice on your marriage, right? Maybe you meet this girl at tennis who's way older than you, who can teach you the ways of what it's like to be divorced in your 40s or 50s. Or, you know, maybe you move to a new country and then you're looking for friends there, and then you meet other expats, and these people could give you information, help you find some connections to make your stay and make your move a little bit easier. And so take good care of your network. You know, if someone was scamming people, tell other people, protect them, be on their side and be their ally. And I would say also, as a, you know, a last advice is, don't abuse your network. And so, you know, I know that the reason we network is we want something, right? There's something that we want. There's something that we want to get. It's for ourselves. And that's why we don't have it. And that's why we network, because there are other people that have it and we need them in our lives. Okay. And so that's why we network. And then sometimes, because we're in such a mindset of, I need to get something, right? Then we forget that maybe we're getting too much, you know, we're taking too much. In the book, 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, the writer Stephen Covey talks about what he says, an emotional bank account. And every time you do something good for people, you deposit in that account. And every time you ask for favors, you withdraw from that account or do something bad. So, and then what if you have more withdrawals than deposits? Then you're going to have an overdraft, and that's not a good sign. And so I want you to really think about, you know, only really trying to ask for help if you need it, but also when you do, be genuine about it and make the ask very nicely. You know, don't act entitled, and most of all, don't use and abuse your market or your network. All right. And so that is kind of the end of my advice saga. But I posted about this episode on my Instagram, and I have a few questions from some of my followers, actually. And so number one here, Jenilyn Ang, she asked me, how can introverts network effectively? Are they required to copy extroverts, or do they have their own edge? Ooh, that's a good question. My opinion is, I think introverts can network effectively by going to the basics of networking, which is like giving, you know, being in that mindset of abundance. coming into the conversation and into the connection with a genuine curiosity and a genuine sense of help and support. I think that is a way to network effectively, honestly, even if you're an extrovert or an introvert. And no, to your next question, no, introverts are not required to copy extroverts because these are two different personalities. Even if an introvert can become an extrovert for a night, they're just acting. And when you're acting, you're literally lying to yourself. It's going to be very hard to find genuine connections because it's just not genuine, right? And so eventually people will feel that your energy is off. And, you know, it's not really the ideal, it's not really the ideal backdrop for a good relationship. And you only really want quality relationships when you're networking. Okay. And so next question. Thank you for that, Jenilyn. Next question from Neil Arfi. I hope I read your name right. How can I have conversations and conversation flows that show genuineness? This is really easy. And the answer to this is be genuine, be authentic, tell the truth, be open and surrender into the moment. I think, you know, a lot of women especially are so hardened by business and they're so hardened by having the feeling that they have to protect themselves all the time. They have to protect their heart because they don't want it to be hurt. You have to protect their business because some of these other guys are just, you know, crazy closers and they might steal my business or something like that. Or we've had some trauma in the past, either by our family, you know, childhood trauma, something in school, or something about our self-image, our appearance, or something that our exes did to us. And all of these things kind of make us feel guarded. And because of that, our walls are up. And as a result to that, we're not as genuine. We kind of just want to watch the situation and then decide or choose how to feel or how to present ourselves. The result is you have someone literally just pretending. It's not the truth. It's not done with integrity, openness, and learning, natural curiosity. You know, you're not allowing yourself to just be fascinated. That's the problem. If you're not being genuine, people will feel it. You're just acting and the energy is off. And sometimes you can't even explain it, but you just don't want to hang out with this person anymore. So I don't want that to happen to you. And so for how to have a conversation that flows with genuineness, just act, you know, just act in a certain way that you're really, really open. I believe that every person has a great story to tell. And every time I meet someone for the first time, I try to get them to tell me that story. I try to learn from them. And because of the mere fact that different people come from different backgrounds, different places, different experiences, we have a lot to learn from each other. So, yeah. Right. That's really easy. Just practice also, you know, a lot of practice. A lot of asking questions, being really curious, listening, active listening, and not just saying, uh-huh, or not just waiting for your turn to talk. I think these are little kind of conversation cheat codes. And our last question, this comes actually from my golf coach, Maho. She asked, how do you approach someone you don't know, but you would like to know? Ooh, that is spicy, especially for a girl to ask, because when we approach a guy will think that we're flirting with them or we want to date them or F them, right? So it's funny how they think that. But I've definitely been in this situation. And it's so hard to actually build up the courage to do that. And so a technique that I've learned is you have to go there bringing something of value, okay? And so in terms of content and communication, Value comes in three things. It's education, inspiration, and entertainment. So I'm not saying you go there with a trivia, a joke, and a story about how you were homeless before and now you're a millionaire, okay? I'm not saying that. But anything that, you know, conversation-wise falls into any of those things would be a good thing to prepare to approach someone. The other thing is, I've been repeating this over and over again in this podcast episode, actually, genuine curiosity, asking a question, actually being invested in knowing that thing that you want to know about them. They will feel interesting. They will feel seen and heard. They feel acknowledged, appreciated. They feel that you're impressed by them, and that's a good feeling to have. And so that feeling is your value that you bring to them. A next thing is bring something of value physically, right? So if you go into a group that's drinking, maybe you can bring a couple of drinks or a basket of wings, you know? So this is an age-old technique to approach a group of girls, right? Guys send some drinks and then it opens up the conversation. It opens up the kind of the possibilities of getting to know each other. So you can also do that. You know, obviously it comes in different ways. And it really depends on the situation. If there is a person that you really want to meet and you've anticipated this moment, it would be good to do a little bit of research about them, especially in business. And in terms of personal, you know, if you want to approach someone to be their friend, or you want them to be your mentor, you're playing a sport, or you're attracted to them, you want to go out with them, you know, I think an easy way to do it is to come with a compliment, right? Oh, I love your shoes, or you have such great skin. What do you do? You know, coming with a compliment that's also genuine will really go a long way. So there you go. Those are my best networking practices. I hope that you learn from them, and I can't wait to see you, all of you guys, all of my listeners in person. I hope you get to network so I can tell you all the jokes that you can't tell on family dinner. But yeah, thank you so much for sitting with me here. This has been amazing and very, very memorable. And if you're listening to whenever this podcast is being released, by the way, I want to talk about a charity project that we're doing at Proximity Outsourcing. We are targeting to donate 100 school bags to kids in the Philippines. And if you want to donate a bag which has school supplies, an actual school bag that they can use for years, we've also added a hygiene kit, which has a towel, a soap, toothbrush, toothpaste, and a water bottle so that they don't have to buy, you know, those disposable water bottles. You can also donate for just $30 per bag with all of those goodies. And we also want to throw a little bit of event for these kids. These kids are really, really deserving of your donations. And most of all, these kids are deserving of kindness from strangers. So if you want to donate, it would mean a lot to me to donate to this project. We do this every year, even before the pandemic. And this is actually a way for me to honor my mother as well. We are donating to the elementary school where she studied, and it also was the town where I grew up, like as a baby. I wouldn't say I grew up, but I stayed there when I was like a newborn child until I was 2 years old. So it's very, very close to my heart. And for such a small amount that you can easily spend on a cocktail, it's literally half the cost of your manicure. I would love if you can donate to these kids. Just send me a message on Facebook or on Instagram, and you'll easily find me on the social media platforms. And I have a bonus if you plan to donate 10 school bags and donate $300 to this advocacy. I will get on a consulting call with you, and I'll help you with whatever help you need in your business. And I will make sure that you get a lot of value in that call. So I usually do my consulting calls for at the minimum like $995 an hour. And all of my consulting gigs start at $3,000, you know, for a few hours. And so this is a really good value. I really just want to make this happen for the kids. And I want to achieve this ambitious goal of donating 100 bags this year. So help me God. So yeah, hope that you can donate. I appreciate all of you. It's been almost a year since this podcast started. Yay. So thank you so much for being here. Thank you so much for your support. And yeah, looking forward to meet you all, looking forward to network with you. I hope you love this episode. I also love sharing it with you and telling my stories. And as usual, see you next week for another beautiful, wonderful episode of None of Your Business. Bye.
So it's a wrap. To my entrepreneur friends, I hope that you found this episode interesting and enjoyable. I know I did. Big thanks to our sponsor, Proximity Outsourcing, for making this possible. If you need to outsource anything in your business so you can scale fast and easy, visit proximityoutsourcing.com and check out their solutions. If there's any topic that you want to request, feel free to reach out. I only have two conditions. You tell me why you find it interesting, and you promise it's not business talk. Find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube, and leave us a comment or review because you're cool like that. This is your host, Carla, and thank you so much for joining me. Thank you for your interest in fun stories. Now we can get back to business. See you next week. And remember, everything here is none of your business.